Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/built for us. Happy Thursday and welcome to another edition of Husker Online Headlines. Sean Callahan, Steve Sippel. We're here a little earlier for you because I'm traveling today, so got to get the show down.
But a lot of speaking these days.
Yeah, it's just that time of year.
Is that what it is?
It's just that time of year. A lot going on, and I'll get into my trip to Chicago here later in the show. But you know, we got a lot of things to talk about here. Husker Online Headlines. If you're not familiar, we break down five big talking points, headlines of the week, and I want to start with this one for headline number one. It's pretty interesting in some respects because Nebraska's got a long history of being on the east sideline, which is opposite of the Memorial Stadium press box. And we go to a lot of stadiums around the country, and Nebraska is really the only home team you generally will see that is opposite of the press box, where now that's going to change. You're going to see Nebraska, and Troy Dannon sent an email out to season ticket holders that Nebraska will now be moving to the west sidelines, and that will, and just letting ticket holders know for the seat yourself process, if you want to relocate or move, this is happening. Nebraska will start the next season on the west sidelines. And we saw the Huskers actually go to the west SIP for the COVID year when there was no fans.
2020.
But now it's official. That will be their new home. And what does that mean? Will they adjust the fence? Will they adjust things? Because the depth of the east versus the west is one of the reasons why Nebraska has always been on the east sideline.
Yeah. Back to the COVID. That was 2020. They did it for 1 year. I'm going to say out of the last 100. I mean, that's the only time. I mean, I know I was talking to a season ticket holder who's in his 70s, and he said that they've always, except for that 1 year, been on the east side, Nebraska sideline. As far as adjustments go, there's the stadium. Sean, I think you just got to move a fence back is really what you got to do.
Probably add some turf though back too.
Don't have to.
Doesn't you just have keep to it turf. On concrete or
yeah,
brick.
you can put something down on game day. You can put some kind of mats or something down.
That is, you know, one of the unique things about Nebraska Stadium is there is quite a bit of distance from row one to the field. Where right. If you go to Iowa or Oklahoma State, those are the two that really jump out to me.
I mean, Michigan State.
The crowd is literally dang near in your huddle.
Michigan State.
Iowa, though, too.
Iowa, Michigan. There's a lot that come to mind for me.
Call me crazy. I like that.
Yeah, I it's kind of cool.
It kind of adds more juice and more atmosphere.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and some Iowa fan just starts yelling at the Nebraska bench.
Yeah, they do. They can touch them.
Like 5 feet away, starts screaming at Donovan Raiola.
Colorado's close.
Oh, yeah. Colorado was so close. When I was the sideline reporter in 07, you'd have to go into the bleachers. And there's like a walkway to, because you know, you can only stay 20. You had to go around the bench. And there wasn't enough room to walk around the bench behind there.
I said Michigan. I may go back on that one. I don't know that Michigan's that close. Anyway, this is a big change. Dan in his email to fans said competitive advantage is a reason to do it. He didn't say what the advantages are. Since you look so much like Troy Dannon. Since you look so much like Troy Dannon, why don't you handle this part?
Well, the competitive advantage is simple. The press box. So when you're up, there's two competitive advantages. The press box, so let's start with that one first. So when you're looking down on Nebraska right now, you get a clear shot of all of their signals going in.
If you're a coach, yeah.
Maybe even some of their personnel groupings, you get a little quicker read on who's going into the game. Mm-hmm. But it's mainly the signals.
Yeah.
And a perfect example was the Michigan game this year. Now, knowing what we know, Connor Stallions had people in Memorial Stadium filming Nebraska signals. And, you know, when you watch Michigan play Nebraska, they were outstanding, but they were almost in the perfect call the entire game. Mm-hmm. And look, Nebraska, I'm not saying Nebraska was going to beat Michigan. That was a really good team. As we know, they won the national championship. But the other thing is the heat. So when you play those September games, like the Michigan game this year was late September. It was 95 degrees for an 11 a.m. kick. Mm-hmm. And Jim Harbaugh, if you remember, Trev Alberts on his radio show with Greg Sharp said that Harbaugh called them after the game. He says, why do you guys use the east sidelines? He goes, it was probably 30 or 40 degrees cooler on the west than the east.
Because of the shadow.
And to me, that's the big one.
The shadow. The shadow. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. It's, I mean, it just, and let's face it, for some context, Matt Rhule has talked about this for months, right? I mean, this is what he wanted. And here it is. It's done. They're moving. It'll be a big, pretty big change, actually.
Now, will Matt Rhule get his grass?
Now, that's the next thing. That's a little more complicated than moving a fence back. It is. You went through the complications the other day. I hadn't even thought about them until you said that. If you put grass in there, can you have a volleyball day for Nebraska? Can you have a Garth Brooks concert? If you have real grass down, can you do stuff like that? I don't know. Can well, you like, keep so having the state high school championship in the state?
Six games in 2 days.
Yeah, those were great points. I don't know if you can.
Because if it's bad weather, they still have to play those high school games.
Yeah, I think you move. That's what I think.
But what if there's really no venue that would make sense? I mean, you have Seacrest Field.
Can't Seacrest do it?
They could, but man, you lose a lot.
Yeah, you lose a lot of prestige.
A lot of people like, obviously, Memorial Stadium for the what it is, but even just like those press box access for the working media and just all the amenities the stadium has to offer. I mean, the people that work all the events and the coaches that attend. I mean,
Yeah.
The coaches love to sit in that level three club the whole weekend.
I hesitate to ask this question because it'll suggest I didn't prepare for this show, but how long has that field turf been in? Well, I didn't know we were going to talk about turf. How long has the field turf been in Memorial Stadium?
So they've updated it about every 7 years or so. So 99 was the first year. 2006 was the second round of it. 2013 was the third round of the field turf.
Then it seems like they went longer.
Well, then if you remember, they were trying to pinch pennies because of COVID.
Yeah.
And they held it past the 2020 season.
Okay. So 2021.
2021 was the first year of that turf.
This is still pretty young turf.
Yeah. And so you usually get about seven, but they did get nine. I want to say they got eight or nine. They went 2013 through 2020 or 2021 right. on the old turf.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if they want to rip this young turf up or not. I don't.
It's about $1 million or so of turf. It would be my guess. Mm-hmm. And then the work to get grass down. I mean,
I don't know, Sean. I don't know if you're going to do that or not. You're the AD.
Yeah, I fear that. What if it gets torn? I mean, there's so many variables to it. Like Soldier Field hosts events on their grass, and it notoriously is in bad shape.
Yeah, it is.
Arrowhead. For what it is, it doesn't have. I mean, we played down there, Big 12 championship game in 06. It was the worst grass. It was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, really so, interesting subject because the data, as Matt Rhule has pointed out, suggests that it's safer to play on grass. It's safer. Now you're coming off of a spring game where you have one major knee injury, it looks like, but Demetrius Hill. Maybe Bly Hills isn't quite as serious.
Demetrius Bell.
Hill. Yeah, Demetrius Bell, the receiver. His knee injury looks pretty serious. Bly Hill, not as serious.
Yeah, and we haven't heard officially from the head coach, but that's kind of the word. What you've heard, yeah. that's the word out there that we've heard that one's bad, one doesn't look as bad. So Nebraska on the west sideline, and I'm intrigued now with the stadium too. I mean, the chairback seating and all these things that they're going to do to the east and the west, like. It's going to eliminate some seats. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've already kind of shown that when they took that original east balcony and chairbacked it, it took away about 20% of the seats.
Yeah, and are you talking about the new renovation plan by any chance?
Well,
the new renovation plan. Remember, it's the new renovation plan that was unveiled in September by Trev Alberts. The reports were that it would take the stadium down to 72 to 74 to 75,000.
And they never gave a firm number.
Never a firm
number. Because they didn't know. I mean, I don't think they truly know.
But that's what you're talking about, which would be about 12,000 to 14,000 fewer seats.
But if you study what the scan ticket data is, yes, the sold ticket data is 85 or 86, but a lot of times the scan ticket data is in the 70s.
Yes, it is, but that won't be the case if Nebraska goes 11-2, you know. Then you will have no issues with check. We won't even check scan tickets. I think you only check scan tickets when a team is struggling.
Yeah.
Right.
That's just low hanging fruit content when things are going bad.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like
exactly.
They always list the tickets sold, but then they'll give you the scan ticket data, but it takes a little bit of work to gather it from Nebraska.
Yeah. I'm always Mr. Downsize your stadium guy. I have to remind myself sometimes, well, what if Nebraska gets really good again? Then what? Then you're going to have a waiting list of people that want to be in the stadium, and you only have 72,000 seats, right?
What hasn't been good, though, is when you see like tickets on StubHub for like $5.
Right. That's the other side of it. That's the other side. We hope that, I mean, if you're a Nebraska fan, you hope that those conversations are going to be over soon, right?
What hasn't been good is when you can get club seats for under $100. Yeah. When those same people that own those club seats are paying thousands for them. You have to make this ticket valuable. You know, that's, and they've got a tough job ahead, but.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Before we take it to headline number two, Husker Online Headlines brought to you by Eller Brock Norris. They've been helping Nebraska business owners protect their purpose for over 120 years with risk management solutions built for local businesses. Eller Brock Norris partners with you on commercial insurance, group benefits, business exit planning, safety, and more. Start thinking long-term with your business and create a risk management strategy to protect it. Are your employee benefits costs going through the roof? Talk to Eller Brock. Workplace injuries skyrocketing, your workers' compensation costs? Talk to Eller Brock. Hoping to retire in the next 10 years and sell the business to family, key employees, or a friendly competitor? Talk to Eller Brock. Eller Brock Norris is helping you protect your purpose, whether it's your business and the employees in it, your life outside of work, or your future retirement goals. Head to ellerbrock-norris.com/Husker Online today to get your free risk evaluation. Thanks again to Eller Brock Norris for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Okay, headline number two, I want to talk transfer portal because it has been relatively quiet for Nebraska thus far. You know, we have access, somebody has access in On3 to get into the portal, and you look at it and it, there's nothing. I mean, I think we expected something, but really it hasn't been anything at all, Sip, when you look at it right now. Chief Borders, Jack Wokey, Corver Demmer, two walk-ons, and, you know, a rotational edge player on the defense are the only Husker players that have gone into the portal thus far.
We expected it to be quiet on this front, but it's quieter than we thought. Is that a way?
Yeah, I mean, I thought you'd get like 3 to 5 scholarship guys, and there's only one. And now they can still roll some names in today, technically, because you have up to 48 hours to put a player into the portal. So you know there is some wiggle room in that sense, as far as what they can do. But today is May 1st was the last day graduate transfer players could go in the portal. April 30th was the last day traditional players go. So that's it. It will close down. And it used to be, you had to always kind of worry about graduates slipping in there, like some guy kind of working real hard to graduate in August to transfer in the summer and get somewhere else. But now that can't happen.
Really interesting. Yeah. It's quieter than we even thought. It's sort of amazing.
There's a look. This is what you see in the portal right here. These are entries in there for Nebraska. Corver Dema, Jack Wokey, Chief Borders. You get their real names, by the way. I didn't know Hassan was a Chief's real name. Then You had some earlier ones that happened in the winter that went in on the first day. Corey Collier. Corey Collier is going to go to Florida A&M.
Okay.
And Eric Fields is in there as well earlier.
Corey Collier's a DB.
Yeah. And those were guys that went in December, January, and then they could not enter, though, until April.
Really quiet. I mean, like I said, quieter than I thought. We've gone over this a lot, but let's do it again. Nebraska players are really treated well. They're treated well outside of the NIL program, outside of the collective. But then when you add the collective, they're really treated well. I mean, everybody is treated well. All scholarship players are treated well by the collective. They're, again, if they weren't receiving any money, they're treated pretty well, or really well at Nebraska. And then, you know, I think the other thing that we can acknowledge is they have a head coach and they have a staff. They have, we'll just say, leadership in place at Lincoln that has quickly put in place a very pleasing culture. It's not, I mean, I'm not going to say it's always positive because Matt Rhule has to coach hard sometimes, but it's a honest culture, a positive culture. It's a culture that players evidently feel comfortable with because they're staying. And there's guys, Sean, one other thing, there's guys that I'd look at. I mean, I've thought about it. There's guys you can look at the roster and say, makes sense for him to leave, that aren't leaving.
Well, and that's
what I'm saying.
It puts into perspective. It's not lip service, what Matt Rhule's saying. I think sometimes when you hear a coach talk about how great the culture is, it can be a little lip service.
Oh, yeah.
This is the truth right here.
Seems like it.
Like, this is what really matters when you look at this. And, you know, look, when you read like Mike Babcock's old books and stuff where he interviews ex-Husker players about their time at Nebraska in the 80s and 70s and 90s, they all talked about transferring. They didn't have
absolutely
the easy escape plan.
Absolutely. It's almost, there's so many times over the years. I mean, I'm going back to the early 90s and even my college years, late 80s, where you would talk to a player. And when I was a young reporter, I talked to a player who said, yeah, I thought about transferring. I'd rush back and tell the guys, hey, he thought about transferring because I thought it was a big deal. Then as my career went on, I realized not a big deal. Guys think about it all the time.
But they now do. The NIL with the portal,
they do it,
opens it quicker. But how do you combat that, especially with your lower, let's call it the lower 25 guys on your team?
Yeah.
Like, those guys are well taken care of. So maybe some of those guys will figure it out and develop because you picked them. So, you know, you have to honor that, you know, as a coach. Like, you're just as much responsible for them being here as they're being here. Mm-hmm. So it's your job as a coach to get them up. And, you know, I think they've done a good job of taking care of these guys.
Yeah, and it's not always been easy. I mean, you know, I think about Tommy Hill. I mean, Tommy Hill, when Matt Rhule first got here, didn't click. I mean, remember Tommy Hill changed positions. It wasn't going that well.
Like Janiron Bonner.
Now, hold
like,
on a second. I've got to go back to Hill. Hill changed positions under Frost, right?
Well, he got benched in the Oklahoma game as a corner.
That's right.
And then It got kind of ugly with him and Travis Fisher in a practice.
Okay, there was that. And then it carried over to the new staff, I think, a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of a slow start with Matt Rhule's staff. They stuck with him, worked with him, and, you know, he developed. And now he's one of the leaders of the team, foremost leaders of the team.
Janiron Bonner is another interesting one, too. Yeah. Like, you think about, kid broke his femur in a severe car accident.
In high school.
Almost couldn't walk again. Nebraska took a flyer on him, redshirted him, then he finally played last year as a tight end fullback. And you're just kind of like, okay, you know, but they figured out a way to use him. And now he looks like he's going somewhere.
Yeah, it's not like we knew it 3 weeks ago. We weren't talking about Janiron Bonner at all 3 weeks ago. It's only been in the last 10 days where it became evident to us because he was mentioned prominently. And then we saw it in the spring game. We didn't even know. That Bonner's been an interesting part of the spring, to be honest. We didn't know. You didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know he was one of the top seven receivers. And then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, they're talking about Bonner. And then in the spring game, lo and behold, he's critical. He's critical as a blocker on those bubble screens. But he can catch, too. Big, strong hands. Big, strong guy. 6'2", 218.
The other thing you have to combat with the transfer portal and things right now is teams will come at your players, as you know, but it may not be a coach. It's somebody kind of indirectly affiliated with those programs, and they kind of figure out what you're getting. And then they'll say, that's all you're getting. Mm-hmm. We'll give you this much more.
Oh yeah.
And then it kind of creates this negotiation game that goes on. And you know, that's a really tough job for a collective because the coaches can't be involved in that.
Yeah. A player can make up a sum too, right? I mean, they can literally just kind of make
it. And you almost have to be smart enough to read and call a bluff.
Like, oh, yeah. And it's happening out there, too. I mean, and we're not speculating. I know I talked to a Power Five coach who said a kid just came into his office and said, I want this amount that was like one fifth of the total amount the team was giving out. And he said, you don't even play. How can I give you this? And he wanted a car that was the color of the uniforms. He wanted a car too, by the way. He wanted a new car that was the color of the uniforms. So coaches deal with this stuff. It took an hour of the coach's day to kind of talk this kid through. No, this is not what we're doing here.
And technically, they're not supposed to talk about that stuff with the guys.
Yeah, it's even worse. Yeah, it makes it even worse.
But like Nick Scourton, you know, I think if Purdue
Nick Scourton,
the Purdue edge,
oh yeah,
that went to Texas A&M,
yeah,
you know, Purdue would have been able to give him what A&M was giving him, he'd still be probably at Purdue.
That is a big if.
Sean. He's a, by the way, he's a projected first round pick.
Sean, you know what a big if that is? If Purdue could offer what Texas A&M offers, no way Purdue could match A&M.
From talking to
no way
Tom Dienhart, or the Purdue insider on On3 here, he said that, yeah, they went in and he met with people at Purdue and said this was the number. And I mean, it was significantly higher.
Like, imagine
double, triple,
yeah,
higher than what he had currently been getting.
Yeah.
And they're just like, we can't do that.
Yeah. I have raved about, people probably get tired of us raving about those Purdue edges, but they had two.
They're first round type guys.
Two war daddies. I mean, it was like, what is that?
I voted Scourton first team all Big Ten. And
people, you know who else would? Harburg. He'd vote him first team all Big Ten.
I mean, he was one of the most dominant edge players I watched all year.
Those guys were bears.
And A&M just bought him.
They were bears. Yeah, of course they did. If you watched that on film, if you were a head coach worth your salt and you saw those two guys, who I don't know the other one's name off the top of my head. They had two of them. They're outside linebackers.
Number three, number five.
Yeah. If you're Mike Elko and you're saying we have this collective money, go get them. Go get them. Go get those guys.
And Scourton is from Texas, I believe. So,
wow.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, let's take it. Headline number three before we get to that. Husker on the headlines brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Nothing says summer like the taste of a juicy, tender burger grilled to perfection. And nobody does burger perfection quite like Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouth-watering steak burgers for each of their pure ground filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. You get all this deliciousness just for $79.99. That's 20 beefy, juicy steak burgers for just $79.99. So go to omahasteaks.com and order today. These are the kinds of burgers that can only come from Omaha Steaks. From the mild and tender filet mignon burger to the rich and buttery ribeye burger.
Buttery.
Every bite is backed by their 100% unconditional guarantee. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop for the Burger Perfection Flight today. That's omahasteaks.com and order the Burger Perfection Flight for $79.99. And you're going to want to hurry as supplies are limited. And I was just telling my wife, I want to get this.
Yeah, those pictures are so beautiful. They're hard to look at.
I told her when we get back this weekend, I'm going to order. I want to have 20 Omaha Steaks burgers on hand, ready to go.
On hand.
And if you're lucky, I'll make you one.
Good job, Commander. That sounds good.
Half the battle when you want to make a hammer, you don't have the stuff to do it. Right. I mean, and you have them ready to go right at your house. Almost, yeah. It's perfect.
God dang.
They're packed. I mean, I like making hamburgers, but you get all messy making them yourself. I mean, almost they're all ready to go. Mm-hmm. All right. Headline number three.
What is it, Sean?
Managing the Dylan Raiola hype. Mm-hmm. And look, there's no starting quarterback at Nebraska. But how many backup quarterbacks, Stephen M. Sipple, get called up on the stage to sing with country music superstar Zach Bryan? Because that's what happened last night in Omaha, or on Tuesday night in Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan Raiola. Monday night, Matt Rhule was on the stage. Mm-hmm. Tuesday night, Dylan Raiola is on stage at the Zach Bryan concert. And check this out. There he is.
And look at the name of the song, Revival. Is that by design? Is that just
that's one of his big songs?
Yeah, Revival, but Program Revival.
This is a guy that should still be in high school.
I know. He's up there on the stage with Zach Bryan. It's incredible.
I mean, Matt Rhule's a tough job because I think everybody knows where it's heading, but how Matt Rhule gets it there, because we've seen things crash and burn here over the years.
Well, yeah, I mean, we sure have. So there's a couple things that come to mind here, Sean. First of all, as far as Raiola winning the job, I don't mind speaking about it in pretty definitive terms because I have confidence in Dylan Raiola. That's where it comes down to with me. He's not gonna mess this up. He's not that way. He's not a flighty kid. We've dealt with them.
I mean, think about Harrison Beck. Like, yeah,
I didn't want to mention any names.
But in that era,
I
think we thought Harrison Beck would be like what this is right now.
Right.
We learned quickly it had a long ways to go to get to that point.
Right. And there's been others that they, for instance, one that they called upon to be a starter after a couple injuries and said, I'm not ready. Dylan Raiola wouldn't tell a coach, I'm not ready. Can you imagine Dylan Raiola telling Matt Rhule, I'm not ready for this? That's happened at Nebraska. It's probably happened elsewhere. Now, as far as managing the Raiola hype, me and you see this a little differently, Sean. I don't think the hype has been that significant. Now, you might read it differently. I think it's been pretty controlled because this fan base has just been crushed by this type of thing. There's some excitement for sure, and for sure after the spring game, there's a lot of, I would say, more optimism. But my sense of it has been it's pretty halting optimism. That's my sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Frost era kind of put people in check, because
not just the Frost era,
but that era when he took over. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody thought, okay, they're back and they got their next head coach for 20 some years.
But I would say the Riley era contributed to it because they emphasized star recruiting quite a bit, right? A lot of them were perimeter type players, but Bookie Radley Hiles, stuff like that. Tajon Lindsey. I could name a few more.
And they recruited some good linemen.
I mean, they did, but all I'm saying is this fan base has been burned time and again. And I think it's a little subdued. I think you saw it in 60,000 is a really good crowd for a spring game. But there were times with previous coaches in previous spring games where it was almost sold out or sold out.
Let me ask you this. If they have a good year next year, and your definition and my definition could be different, what a good year, let's say they win 8 games.
Okay.
And win a bowl game, even get to 9. I mean, okay.
We're
pie in the sky talk here.
That's not real pie, but
I'm just tempering.
Yeah.
I don't want to be accused of over serving and under delivering because we get accused of that all the time. Right. But what do you think that spring game is next year if Dylan Raiola has a lights out freshman year?
I think it's more
70,000-80,000.
Yeah. Okay. The scenario in my mind would be they get 8 wins in the regular season and then win a good bowl game against a good team, you know, a good bowl game, maybe beat an SEC team in a bowl game. Yeah. I think it would.
Don't underestimate too the ticket costs. I mean, there were no freebies.
That's true.
I mean, put the scenario in life when you see like free hot dogs being served outside of a bank.
Yeah, you're more apt.
Everybody's going to show up and get a free hot dog at the bank.
Yeah.
If they're charging $5.
Yeah, not as much.
And that was the spring game. Yeah. I mean, they went from giving out free hot dogs to everybody at the bank to $5. And look, you're just going to, I mean, simple economics tell you're going to cut some fans out of that.
That's probably part of it.
And the regular price went to 15. Mm-hmm. So they went from 10 to 15, from 3 to 5, and then 20 to, I believe, 25 for the club.
Okay, so there's that. Then I would go, I would also point to media coverage. I don't think media coverage of Dylan Raiola has been over the top. Think about it.
And they were smart with the acts. I mean, it's very podium controlled.
That's part of it. That's part of it. But I don't.
And Matt Rhule's not going to take, I mean, I would be shocked if he took him to Big Ten Media Days.
Probably.
I mean, it's.
Would you do that?
No. Because you have such a group of defenders to pick from: Ty Robinson, Nash Hutmacher, Tommy Hill, Isaac Gifford.
Yeah.
Those four alone.
But don't you get, you got to take somebody on offense.
And on the offense, you have Ben Hart, you have Fedoni, you have Emmett. I mean, you have a lot of. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people you can go with on the offense. Teddy Prochazka, who
Ben Scott.
We've learned that Teddy is a. I mean, he is in the journalism college, by the way.
Teddy can write, is what we've heard, right? Teddy's a writer.
Our colleague Abby Barmore works in the J School once a week and helps out in their labs, and she said Teddy can write.
Teddy's coming for your job.
He's coming, but
just saying, John.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see just this all play out and the timeline, because I got the impression Matt Rhule is going to stretch the announcement as long as he can.
Yes, I do too. Yeah, and I wonder how long, what that means exactly. Mid-August? Don't you want to name it? It's like, I don't think this is a situation where you wait the week of the game, but I guess he could.
Well, now this new grad transfer rule where they can't go in the portal after May 1, you don't really have to worry about like a Jebbia situation.
Yeah, a Jebbia situation that he loses the job in August, named a week before the opener? Opener?
Yeah, at the press conference of the Akron game.
Yeah.
He just bolted.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, I don't see Heinrich doing that. I mean, we've heard Heinrich do interviews, and I would say this too. When I listened to him at the podium after the spring game, my thought was he's not going anywhere, Sean. I think you and Robin felt a little differently, like he was a little chippy, which he was a little chippy, I think, maybe a little short with a few answers. Not real short, though. And if you really listen to what he said, I came away saying he's not going anywhere. He likes this group. It's a good quarterback room. They're tight. And I think Heinrich has a girlfriend here. And I think he likes it here. He's always said he likes it here.
And use kind of a quarterback example from way past. I mean, the Tommy Frazier, Brooke Boehringer. I mean, Brooke Boehringer wasn't real flowery on the podium. He's a great human being, did a lot in the community. But if I remember right, did he not do interviews like the whole senior year?
Oh, I think he did it.
I
wasn't covering it full time at that point. So I don't want to pretend to speak with authority here. I thought he did interviews, though.
Well,
he did. I know he did interviews.
But the last year, he refused to, like, create any kind of controversy.
Oh, he didn't. He didn't. Now, Tommy Frazier, by the way, wasn't good at a podium. I mean, he was chippy, as you could imagine. But but anyway, no, I think Heinrich, Heinrich's here to stay. And I think Raiola can manage the hype that we address in this, managing Raiola hype. I think Dylan can manage it. I do. And I think his dad and his parents, his family in general, I think they help that. You've noticed that Dominic has stayed away. Not he's come around, but he's not prominent. He's not doing interviews. You don't see him all that much. He watched the spring game, I believe, from a box. He
doesn't want to be thrown in that former player mosh pit on the field.
That he doesn't want to be portrayed as the, what do they call him, Sean? Like you are with your daughter's helicopter. Just joke.
But imagine just like parent. The entourage of players that would want to come visit. I mean, in that's great, but I don't think he wants that to be going on going on. I mean,
no, I know he doesn't want that to go on. He doesn't. So I think it's the conclusion here, Sean, is it's all been managed pretty well to this point. Tough times ahead. Losses are going to happen. Interceptions are going to happen. Big wins are going to happen too. How's that managed? You know, so there's a lot ahead on this conversation.
I was chuckling thinking about chippy podium moments. My favorite one with you involved Amir Abdullah.
Oh God. Which one? I mean, there's a few actually.
And I think you referred to him as a small back.
Yeah. This wasn't a podium moment. This was a sideline moment. I asked him the question. Are you okay? Now, this was Sean. He was either a freshman or a sophomore. I think it was going into his sophomore year, and he was still pretty small. And I asked him, are you okay running between the tackles? And he just stared at me and said, yeah, why? And and our relationship has never been the same. I don't think he likes me to this day. He didn't like that question at all. And he did not. He was chilly to me from that moment on. He looked at me and said, yeah, why? I said, well, you're not that big.
He ran tough.
Oh, he did. He was very good. And he got bigger. I mean, he did. If you look at him when he first came in here, like a lot of players, when he first came in here versus when he left, he got big in the shoulders. You know, he had a bench press in his bedroom. He kept a bench press in his bedroom. Ron Brown told me that. He developed upper body big time. I mean, yeah, by the time he left, he looked like a Big Ten running back. Yeah, they were in the Big
Ten. In all the years Nebraska's been in the league, when they used to do those Big Ten luncheons, they don't do them anymore. He was the player selected to speak to the entire Big Ten his senior year.
Oh, he's amazing. Amir was an amazing cat. I mean, and you know what? I didn't know him then when I asked him that question, but learning about him, I'm not surprised he reacted that way. He is a very proud individual.
Well, think about what he did. I mean, Braylon Hurd started at Kentucky and Aaron Green started at TCU.
Yeah.
And he ran them both out of here.
Ran them completely out.
And they were ranked higher than he was.
Yeah, and he was way better than Hurd. Green turned out pretty good, but not nearly as good as Amir.
Aaron Green's departure still was, I mean, that was pretty premature.
You think so?
I mean, yeah, his brother was here too.
He went to TCU and did really well. Braylon Hurd just wasn't the back that those guys were, Green and Amir. But Amir really separated.
Yeah, himself. And they went Halu to Burkhead to Amir. NFL, NFL, NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had, I mean, at times they overlapped, right?
Yeah. There was always an over, Halu and Burkhead had an overlap, and then Amir and Burkhead had an overlap.
Yeah. Think about it. See, that's when we talk about the running back room and we say, when I say things on the message board today, like in the chat, that they lack explosion, that they lack an NFL player. That's what I'm talking about. They don't have an Amir Abdul and a Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, it went from, I mean, no, not kind of Monty Cross, but it went from Amir Abdullah to Amani Cross, mm-hmm. who ended up playing for the Omaha Beef.
There's a difference.
I mean, a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. And it's a meaningful difference.
Well, that was Ozigbo was good, but
Ozigbo had a year, the first year of the Frost era, where he averaged 7 yards a carry and got 1,000 yards.
And look, Newbie was all right.
All right.
But not those guys.
No.
But it was, yeah.
Yeah, Terrell Newbie. He was fine. I mean, he was fine. He was fine. That's fine.
And Frost that. Really didn't. I mean, he had Ozigbo, but Frost really didn't have a good running back his whole time. I mean, it was just such inconsistencies mm-hmm. with Dedrick Mills and, mm-hmm. You know, the different things they tried to do. It just mm-hmm. never got going. So
it didn't.
It's arguably been a 10-year drought.
Yeah, and we're not being unfair here. All you got to do is look at what happened to him post-Nebraska. Amir Abdullah is still playing.
They've had one 1,000-yard rusher since Amir Abdullah.
Yeah.
One. And that was Ozigbo.
Yeah, and we're not being unfair. It's just the way it is. It's the way it's played out.
It's the longest drought in the history of this program that they've had, you know, the fewest 1,000-yard rushers.
Yeah. I mean, it needs to change.
That's a big one. So, yeah. All right.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Before we take it to headline four, Husker on Headlines brought to you by Heartland Red, Lincoln's quality deck builders, locally owned, based here in Lincoln. All the owners actually are from the great city of Lincoln here, and they build high quality custom and PVC composite decks. Great time of year. Everyone wants to entertain, hang out in the backyard, throw the big party for your kid's baseball team or soccer team. You got to have a great deck.
Jeez.
And they're going to get you set up with large decks, small decks, pool decks, standalone decks, you name it. They do custom lighting, wraps, privacy walls, underdecking, and more. They've got a great showroom here in Lincoln. Go check it out. Visit their website as well at heartlandred.com or call them at 402-405-5755 to set up a bid today. Who doesn't want a great entertainment space in their backyard? Heartland Red is going to get you set up with premier decking where everyone's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to go over his house because he's got the setup in that backyard.
Yeah. Look at those decks. Look at them. They're incredible. I'm looking at them in awe.
I will say this, like being a homeowner of a regular wood deck versus composite, it's not even close. So the composite decking is unbelievable.
Got a composite or wood?
We don't really have we have a patio now.
Okay.
So we used to have a composite deck at our last house. So,
okay.
We don't have a big walk-off deck, but, Heartland Red, great decking company here in Lincoln. Check them out on their website. Get a quote today. Okay. Headline 4, the wheels are in motion, Steve Sipple, for in-house NIL. And what does that mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, what does that exactly mean? Well, Trev Alberts always talked about this line item, this budget line, mm-hmm. and they want to essentially create a somewhat of a salary cap where you could have in the range of $15 to $20 million maximum to earmark towards NIL.
We're talking about Power 4 now.
Power 4. So it'd be 20. Probably be $20 million, and that would come from the multimedia rights money. So you're going to take $20 million a year from that and be able to use it. And it's really not even NIL when you look at it. I mean, it's basically just a...
It is to the extent that one part of these laws that are proposed, and now this is where it gets a little bulky, these sports writers talking about these legal issues that are facing college football. There's some items... There's some parts of the legal aspects of this that the schools could buy their NIL rights, Sean. They could literally buy players' NIL rights. But you're right. I mean, this is what we're talking about is revenue sharing, right? We're talking about revenue.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about revenue sharing. And the schools sharing multimedia rights revenue with student athletes. It's pretty complicated in some ways.
Well, how do you divide it up? That's the question.
What do you
like
mean?
The 20 million, because it's going to go to the whole athletic department. So how much of that goes to football? How much goes to volleyball? How much goes to basketball?
Talk about Title IX now to a certain extent, right? Well, there's a way around that. And the lawyers, I think are figuring that out. And here's how you do it. So what you're suggesting maybe is that, well, if you're paying football players this much, you have to pay female athletes the same or same scale. No, you don't, because it's participation. Title IX is about participation, not necessarily about how much money they would make compared to males.
It's equity on roster numbers.
Yeah.
Female versus male.
Right. So the lawyers are figuring that out, I think. And it's one of the attorneys I saw quoted said, no, this is about participation. It's not about equal money value. It's about participation. So there's that. The other part of the discussion, okay, I want to get to something. The most important part as I see it, okay, you've covered this revenue sharing idea where these Power 4 schools would probably have $20 million in this pot for student athletes.
Annually.
Now, here's the critical thing, and this is where the rich get richer, and this, Sean, is where if you're Troy Dannon, which I swear to God, I look at you sometimes and think you are Troy Dannon. If you're Troy Dannon or Matt Rhule or Fred Hoiberg, this is where Nebraska could really benefit. And I'll tell you why. Because you'll have this $20 million pot, which Nebraska can afford, right? It'd probably be 10% of their revenue, overall revenue for the athletics.
Well, and then the media rights money keeps growing.
There's that. But wait, it's not over. There's that. Nebraska can afford the $20 million. Plus, under these proposals, there can still be a collective that raises money for student athletes above the $20 million. Nebraska can do that. Nebraska, as I see it, would be in pretty rarefied air. There's not too many places around the country, I'm going to say 25, maybe 40, that could say, okay, we're going to pay $20 million, but we're going to still have a collective that pays above and beyond the $20 million. Nebraska is sitting in a good spot right now if this all goes forward.
And, you know, what you hear Matt Rhule say, and even Troy Dannon, that it's like, we've got to figure something. We got to keep doing what we're doing for the next 2 years.
Yes.
Then when this day comes, mm-hmm. they kind of merge entities, the collective with the school.
Right. But not all schools can do what I'm suggesting. Have the $20 million pot for revenue sharing, but plus, oh yeah, you can still have a collective, which raises more money for the student athletes.
So that 20 could easily be 30 or 40.
Yeah. And now think about some schools that you know them. You could name them if you wanted to. I wouldn't suggest doing it. That just don't. They won't be able to do that. Some schools will have trouble getting the $20 million in house.
Yeah, if you have that Big Ten money though, and the payouts are going to be what they are.
Well, I'm not talking about Big Ten, but I think you could find some schools in the Big 12 and the ACC that would have a little more trouble.
And that's where, like, you know, the Group of Five.
Forget it.
And then the FCS.
Hey, let's put it this way. If you're trying to get a handle on what's revenue at Ohio State look like on an annual basis, I'll tell you what it is. It's $250 million. Okay. So $20 million out of $250 million, what's that? 8%? 8%? Arkansas, $100 million less than Ohio State. Arkansas, so $150 million is what their revenue is annually. If they pay $20 million, that's 13% of their revenue on an annual basis. Now, there's Group of Five teams that don't make $20 million, no. Period, that don't make anything. They don't have revenue.
And it's going to turn, I mean, like what we're seeing in college basketball, where the Summit League is developing these players to go. I mean, the same thing's going to keep happening.
Absolutely. Because
there's going to be data and articles written about who are the $20 million schools.
Sure.
And if you're not in that club, it's going to be a dessert. It's going to hurt you in recruiting.
Yeah, it really will. Now, yeah.
Well, the payouts though vary by your position and your status, or will be an equal payout on, I just don't, that's what I'm interested
good question.
In. Like, how will they split that up? Like, let's say Dylan Raiola, like what would his payout be versus, and then how deep to the walk-ons do you go?
Right.
Like you have.
So you're talking about what's the quarterback going to make compared to the starting left guard?
The backup long snap.
I think your quarterback and your premier players are going to make more than some other players, especially under the scenario that I laid out, which is you have the $20 million, you know, and that's a cap. It's a cap. We didn't mention that. It would be capped at $20 million, except you could make certain schools that are able to do it, that have the wherewithal, could go above that $20 million. And Sean, that's where I think maybe that answers your question. That extra money would go to the premier players, like it does now.
Well, just some quick math, like on a 130-man football roster, mm-hmm. that's $154,000 a player.
That's pretty good.
For football.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's probably not going to happen.
That's going to get split down. Like, right. Like there's going to be a pot that goes to soccer, like a smaller pot. Like,
sure.
They're going to get,
so. I think so.
But some of those sports don't get the full cost of attendance stipend, because if you're a partial scholarship sport, mm-hmm. you don't have to do the cost of attendance.
Right. It's really,
there's a lot, but yeah. I mean really the athletes before NIL were getting about $2,500 ish a month.
Okay.
Then you add NIL. It's just,
well, yeah, that's what's, but yeah, this is not final. Like you said, it's probably a couple years away. What the case is, it's if you people want to follow it, it's House versus the NCAA. Now there's a lot of people suing the NCAA. There's more people suing the NCAA. The NCAA has more lawsuits against it than Donald Trump, I'd say right now. Or it's close. I mean, there's a lot of lawsuits directed toward the NCAA. This particular one is House versus the NCAA. That's the big one right now.
I'll tell you, the big winner in this will be all these high-end apartments being built, because all these athletes making all this money down the road.
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
they're going to be able to occupy all these I mean, they're, if you,
yeah, they
if,
can make it easy.
If you haven't been to Lincoln in a while, I mean, downtown Lincoln is just turned into like high-end apartment and student housing everywhere.
Haven. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. We've heard about players from Nebraska that graduate and, you know, okay, they graduate, their NIL ends. And suddenly, what happens, Sean?
They turn their car in.
They turn their car in, their NIL ends. Oh, wow. I don't have any money. I got nothing coming in, and my car's gone. That's a rude awakening for some guys.
Yeah, life hits you in the face fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Let's take it headline number five, but before we get to that, if you're not a member of Husker Online, check us out. We'll have Tunnel Talk on Friday, which is our exclusive member war room feature. Most popular thing we do on Husker Online, where we try to give you information you're not going to see anywhere else. And then Steve Sipple has a great column coming on Sunday. I come on Monday with the weekly rundown. We're going to give you Husker Online 2 months for $1 by simply using promo code NU1. That's promo code NU1 to get 2 months for $1. That's the best deal we're going to give you at Husker Online. So if you haven't tried us, try us out for 2 months for a buck. I guarantee you'll like it at huskeronline.com. All right, headline five. We tend to do this sometimes. We're going to call it odds and ends
because
we're going to cover a little bit of ground. Start first with baseball. Mm-hmm. Huskers got a great series win against Iowa. They lost to Brody Breck, who is a potential first-round pick on Sunday, who's thrown 102.
Oh, hello.
And he was lights out. I was listening to Ben McLaughlin and the radio guys and Dave Gustafson, and they said against Rutgers, he had, I believe, 31 swing and miss strikes.
Iowa has a pitcher that throws 102.
And they throw him on Sunday.
Good God. You know what that's like standing up there? I mean, I'm not going to do the glory days thing, but I played Legion ball against Greg Olson, who pitched many years for the Atlanta Braves. He threw 85, and it seemed like it was 102. Now, 102 is a whole nother deal. I mean, hello. Okay, then Nebraska loses to Creighton Tuesday night.
Yeah, and that's
– we have a little situation
here. A couple years in a row now, this has been the story. Nebraska wins the weekend series. They're in good shape in the Big Ten, but they're losing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
They haven't won a series against Creighton since 2018.
They gave up 6 runs in the first inning.
Yeah, Creighton has won 11 of the last 13 against Nebraska, Sean.
And it just doesn't add up, because if you just laid out the recruits on both rosters, I would tend to guess that Creighton's not going to beat Nebraska for very many head-to-head recruiting battles.
One wouldn't think.
The Big East versus the Big Ten. I mean, it's just, you know, baseball. The Big East baseball is actually pretty good this year, though.
It is. Creighton's only 4-6. Okay, to illustrate, Creighton's 31-11. 4-7 in the Big East.
And they're not, and only 4 qualify for their Big East tourney.
They're fighting to get in.
And they're fifth. And they have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, they play St. John's this weekend. But now this is a Creighton team. Think about the midweek the comparison. Creighton in midweek games is 11-0.
They swept Coastal Carolina.
11-0. Nebraska in midweek games, 3-6. Has lost 5 in a row. Midweek's hurting Nebraska. Not killing them. I'm not saying it's killing them, because Nebraska still could win the Big Ten. They're a game out of first place in the Big Ten.
But it's what's going to separate them from being in contention of being a host, which they're probably out of that now.
A host for a regional?
To being just like a 2 or 3 in a regional.
Yeah.
And being sent down south to some just raucous ballpark where there's 8,000 fans and it's extremely hard to win.
Yeah, it could happen. Nebraska's still 12 games over, 27-15. But, yeah, it's hurt them. I mean, I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. The midweek situations hurt him.
And knowing Bolt like we do, I mean, I can't imagine how much this chaps his hide.
Oh, God. He doesn't lose well.
No.
Will doesn't lose well.
Especially to Creighton being local. And
No. I mean, no coach loses well, but it's always like everything else. It's a matter of degrees. And Will, not a good loser.
He's a Dave Van Horn disciple. Yeah. I mean, he's just like Coach Van Horn.
Yeah. So yeah, it's rough. It was rough. Yeah. You said it. Creighton put a six spot on him in the first
game. Was over in the first inning. Pretty much. I mean, barring just a major collapse, and the Blue Jays at that point could play the game differently. Yeah. When you're up 6-1 in the first, mm-hmm.
You play a lot differently.
You play a lot that you can manage the game way differently.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been to baseball games. People weren't even settled into their seats, and Creighton was ahead 6-1. I mean,
well, the Zach Bryant concert was going on down there at the same time as the baseball game.
Good God, Zach Bryant.
But did you see? Sticking on baseball, did you see the Dodgers Diamondbacks yesterday? Uh-uh. What happened in that game? Uh-uh. They were delayed because of a bee swarm. There was a swarm of bees.
Where was this in Arizona?
Chase Field in Arizona. That went into the stadium at in Arizona.
Cool.
And they had to like clear out everybody around this bee. I mean, I'm talking like the biggest bunch of bees you could ever imagine. Ooh, wow. And then they had to bring in some special beekeepers.
That's like a horror film.
To get the bees out of the state. They still got the game in, though.
That's remarkable. Okay, what else? 7-footer. Fred got a 7-foot-1 center that Sean, I've watched his film twice. And I just can't figure out why more. I don't know how many injury teams were after him. I mean, he looks. Now, I'm not saying this is Bill Walton coming to Lincoln. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. He averaged 5 points and 5 rebounds last year at Washington. But he looks like a 7-1 version of Alec, Josiah Alec. That's what he looks like to me. Josiah Alec at 7-1. I mean, this is a good get, I think. I think, now, like Josiah Alec, is probably his weakness is his hands. He doesn't catch the ball well all the time. But, man, Sean, sometimes you think of a 7-foot-1 guy as kind of a plotter and maybe a little bit uncoordinated a little bit. No, this guy, feet are excellent. Quick jumper at 7-1. I mean, he's looking at the rim with his eyes. I just love the guy.
Hey, it's going to be a hot ticket for Nebraska basketball again next year.
I think so.
I like what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I like what they're returning. You know, Jamarcus Lawrence, you'd like to have him come back.
Yeah.
But that's the transfer portal in a nutshell.
They went out and got Connor Sheehan from Wisconsin. They got Gavin Griffiths from Rutgers. So Fred went out and got two premier shooters.
Point guard from Utah.
Raleigh Wooster from Utah. But I love those shooters. Now, some people are going to say, I mean, look, they didn't even shoot the ball well last year. I know they didn't. They didn't. That's fine. I know what shooters look like, and I know their history, too. They're shooters. Asesian's the 10th all-time leading scorer in Indiana high school history. What's that tell you? Can score. Yeah, so Connor Asesian right there is a junior. Thank you, Megan. Gavin Griffiths came from Rutgers. Connor
7 Egan. Seniors right now.
Fred flipping a roster every year is what he's doing, which is interesting. I mean, but whatever. This team, I do like it too. I think there's a lot of promise. Janowski, Robin would tell you, can shoot it too. Janowski will probably be a factor. But yeah, what Fred did, if you take Janowski, Gavin Griffiths, and Connor Zegan, those guys they're going to spread the floor and hit a lot of threes. Then you add Gary, who can shoot, Bryce Williams, who can shoot, Raleigh, who can shoot a little bit. Yeah, there's something going on.
It's 13 here. You can have on scholarship, right?
Yeah, and they're too short.
It's almost impossible to really get 13 now.
You don't even want to. Robin said the other day that Tim Miles would say, you don't want 13 because that means you have a lot of scholarship guys sitting on the bench or a few scholarship guys sitting on the bench bitching, and then they drag some players down and it can become a problem. I would be surprised if Fred, I think, is still looking for a power forward. So they might go try to get
then you just forward. Give like the extra one that's available, like Cale Jacobs.
Yeah, something like
or
that.
Sam Hoiberg.
Yeah, yeah, or Sam.
Sam
yeah.
Hoiberg should be a scholarship guy.
Yeah,
but, I mean.
We didn't even mention Sam. Yeah, the more I think about it, I think this team's going to be pretty good. I do.
They're going to Hawaii over Christmas.
Is Rob going?
I don't think he can do. I mean, I have said I'll back him if he wants to go, but
jeez,
it's Christmas.
You might send me out there then.
It's in Honolulu.
Beat writer.
just stay out there for the whole month.
Gamer.
Just do some game stories for Hawaii. You'd be alone.
I can handle that. I can handle oh, that.
God. All right. Let's, before we close it, odds and ends. Big weekend, so we're a little early. I've had it in Chicago, Sip.
I know you are. So what's going on there?
In people, second weekend in a row I've been in Chicago.
You spend a lot of time in Chicago.
But this, we had an on-3 meeting, and then this week, we have the Chicagoans for Nebraska scholarship fundraiser and speaking event. I will be at the Big Ten offices in Rosemont. And it's really cool. The Big Ten allows any alumni group, their official chapters, to use their space for free.
Cool.
You have to, I think they have to pay for security and then they set up their catering and things. But so we'll be in, I mean, the event will take place in kind of the Big Ten's presenting room.
So Thursday.
And Joe,
and you present.
Yep. I'm going to talk spring football, show some clips of the spring game. Good crowd of 50 or 60 probably will be there. Joe Selig from 1890 is going to be there as well. I believe talking NIL.
Wow.
He's the vice president of 1890. Former Joe Selig, former interim athletic director of Nebraska, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He was Bill Burns' interim athletic director.
Wow. Time. This is interesting. Are you wearing a suit for this?
No. It's a casual.
Pretty casual. What kind of food will they serve?
Heavy hors d'oeuvres. Right up your alley, Steve Sipple.
Please explain what heavy hors d'oeuvres would entail.
Sliders.
Sliders. Yeah, that's
heavy. Meatballs.
Yeah. on a stick.
But it's a good set. Like the hotel, there's a hotel connected to the Big Ten. So you just stay right there. And then my family's going.
Oh, wow.
So Kit, Carly, Lee, we're going to hit American Girl on Friday.
It'll be fun for you.
Say a prayer for me.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Are your daughters, Kit and Carly, are they going to the event to see you speak?
They are.
Oh boy, Carly, is Carly ready for that?
I've told Lisa, like, if there's a point where maybe you want to walk back to the hotel, like, that's fine. You know, like, don't think you guys have to stay till 9 o'clock.
This will be fun.
And then we're going to go to the Cubs game on Saturday.
God dang.
And I'm hopefully going to see Lane Grindle, who's the voice of the Brewers. And he's going to be calling the game for the Brewers in Wrigley Field that day.
I think, you should see Lane. I think it's a slow time. Is there anything going on Friday?
The portal's closed.
Portal's closed. Should be kind of slow, right?
Coach is on the road recruiting. Yeah. I mean, so no visitors on campus. So, yeah, it's a good period right now. Yeah,
get out. Go to Wrigley.
And then I'll be back
Sunday. Back-to-back. You're going to Wrigley back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, it's a bizarre deal. Like, it just all kind of fell. Two Cubs games in a week.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Who are they playing?
The Brewers.
Oh, yeah, you said that. I'm sorry.
Lindgren. I was just getting my tickets all lined up here for the weekend, so it should be fun.
Okay.
What do you got? What Mexican restaurant are you going to hit this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? No, you know what I'm doing this weekend? One thing I'm doing, I'm going to watch the Kentucky Derby. I've been invited to a derby party in a garage.
Greg?
Yeah. And I'm going to do that for sure. And birthday party, granddaughter Anna, birthday party on Sunday. So Saturday derby, birthday party Sunday.
I need to meet the famous Greg.
Yeah. He's going to be freaked out that we even mentioned it.
I hear so much about this wonderful friend of yours, Greg.
He brings my fleet manager too.
He helps your car stuff
and my motorcycle. Yeah, we better stop now. It's kind of freaking right out.
Busy weekend. We'll have full coverage of everything on Husker Carolina baseball. Abby Barmore will be in Kearney covering Nebraska volleyball as well. So check us out, huskeronline.com. Again, 2 months of access for $1. Promo code NU1 gets you that great offer and special at Husker Online right now. For Steve Sipple, I'm Sean Callahan, signing off here for Husker Online Headlines.